Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? Monday morning, everybody. That means my dad will be calling in because it's a jokey time. It's brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet, located in beautiful Jefferson Park. Thank you to George Karzis and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. And thank you to George and the Gale Street Inn for sponsoring my dad's joke. Go to galestreet.com. Greatest restaurant on the planet. We thank them. Also, coming up a little bit later on, Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another round of Celebrity Name Game as we prep to get on the show. Yeah. You know, we're discovering as we play this game that the person who kind of actually wins the game is the one on the other side that has you, right, Esmeralda? Like that hat, like if...
Well, no, you'd be on a team.
Yeah, you would. We'd be on a team and we'd do well.
But, oh, are you talking about
the way
we
have it, yeah.
Right.
Because the person who gives the clues is more responsible, do you know what I mean, than the person guessing them. Don't you think?
Yes and no.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you have to give good clues in order to get somebody to guess that.
No, of course.
So, I mean, it's not this actually, what Celebrity Name Game really isn't the competition that the VH1 game is that we play, which is, you know, a brutal head-to-head do or die competition.
No, this to me is how well can I explain a clue?
Yeah. And again, it gets our brains sharpened so that when Craig Ferguson finally calls us up.
Oh, of course.
And says, you guys are going to be on the show the whole half hour by yourselves, that, you know.
Right. He's going to call us personally.
That's right.
Hey, remember I was giving Christmas trees away last week?
Mm-hmm.
Let me do that again.
Oh, lovely.
Isn't that lovely? Oh. It is the season. We want to be happy. And so why don't we do this? Caller number 5. You can call up right now, and you'll get a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights. And it's from Tree Time's Christmas Decorations and Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Treetime.com. These are really, really cool sports themes. You can put them on your desk. Really cool desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree. So if you want one, I'm giving them away. Caller number 5 at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller number 5 will get you'll get a gift certificate. Now, you have to go to Treetime to pick it up. So you got to pick it up at Treetime in Lake Barrington. And you have to have an email address. So caller number 5, email address, get to Tree Time, pick it up. You'll get yourself a Christmas tree, a very, very cool Christmas tree. So we got a bunch of those to give away. We'll be giving them away all week. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Caller number 5 will win. Now, Esmeralda, have you ever had any sort of brushes with celebrities?
I have.
Okay, cool. Now, I don't mean in the position that we're in like now. You know, like being on a radio show and having celebrities on.
Right.
Not interviewing them. But I'm just talking about you're going about your normal life and all of a sudden you have a brush with somebody famous.
Yes.
All right. What's one from you?
Michael Shannon.
Oh.
I was hanging out at a bar and he was at, it was Old Town Ale House.
Of course.
And I guess that's his stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend... Brandon Weatherby, who I do the the podcast talk show with,
right.
He goes, hey, look, it's Michael Shannon. Go see if he'll be on our show. I'm like, what? Why me? He goes, you do it. You go talk to him. He was a little bit tipsy.
Oh, he was.
I go over to talk to Michael Shannon, and I buy him a beer because I don't know why. That was me trying to break the ice. And at this time, I had not seen him on anything other than Revolutionary Road.
Oh, really?
So I was trying my darndest to get him to be on our show and, try to schmooze with him. And I just told him how amazing he was in that movie. And then he gave me an email address. I never got an answer.
And you never got an answer. Michael's a strange dude.
I'm sure he is.
He's a strange
dude. He seemed like a nice man.
Oh, he's nice. He's very introverted and a little weird. You know, kind of like the characters that he plays in the movies. Oh, by the way, we got a winner, so you can stop calling in. Number 5 was Rob. Rob, you are our winner. Congratulations to Rob. He got himself a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree from Treetime Christmas Creations. Treetime.com. All right, we got our winner. Thanks for trying. Thanks for calling. Yeah, no, he's an interesting. He's got a very interesting story. I don't know. He was living in his car for a while.
As most actors on the rise do.
Yeah, and, so this was after Revolutionary Road when you...
Yeah, he was on Boardwalk Empire at the time.
Yeah, well, he got nominated for Revolutionary Road.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Supporting actor nomination.
But I had not seen him on Boardwalk Empire or anything, so I only knew Revolutionary Road.
Well...
So I had to talk that up real, real hard.
There you go. And it didn't work. Why didn't Brandon go over himself?
I don't know. He was making me do it.
What a jerk.
And yeah. I mean, I did get the email. It seemed legit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, if you've had a celebrity run-in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We got a whole bunch of these stories that from online, and there is a news story that happened that involves a bunch of bikers and Bruce Springsteen, if you can believe that. But we want to hear from you. If you want to text or talk to us at 312-981-7200 with your story about a celebrity run-in that you had, a brush with fame, 312-981-7200. Here we go. Here's the story, Esmeralda. Dan Barcalo did not think twice before stopping by the side of the road near Freehold, New Jersey to help out a stranded fellow biker. Then he noticed that the guy looked familiar, and it was none other than Bruce Springsteen. It's a day I probably won't forget for a while, Dan Barcalo, 54, told CNN. The moment I got off the bike and I saw him, he was a real nice, down-to-earth guy. Barcalo was leading a group of bikers, the Freehold American Legion Riders, back from a Veterans Day ceremony Friday at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in New Jersey and Holmdel, New Jersey, when he saw the broken-down bike and pulled over. Barcalo said he was a little starstruck upon recognizing Springsteen, but immediately tried to assist the rocker, a Freehold native who still lives nearby. When the dead battery on Springsteen's bike wouldn't charge, the group gave him a ride to a nearby restaurant. Barcalo said Springsteen, who has just published the best-selling memoir titled Born to Run, stayed for 45 minutes until his bike was picked him up. Until his ride came to pick him up. The musician invited Barcalo and his buddies for a round of drinks and chatted about motorcycles and good old Freehold. Biker Ryan Bailey added that Springsteen took the group's names and numbers. He said, if I'm ever in the area, I'll get tickets for the show. And Bailey said that was pretty neat. That's great. Isn't that cool?
That was very neat.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen, man. See, man, people, he's still connected to the people. All right, Dan, have you ever had a brush with fame?
I told this story a few weeks ago when Noonan was in, but I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I attended Mass with Kevin James once.
What? No, you have never told me that story, Dan. How is it that you've never told me that story?
So this was back.
Was he on a Segway?
No, he was not on a Segway. So this was back in the Steve and Johnny days when we didn't have podcasting. So I used to leave the station a little sooner than we normally do.
Yeah.
I would occasionally on weekdays go over to 6 o'clock Mass at Holy Name Cathedral if I missed weekend Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there. And, at that time, it's a sparse crowd. So everybody gets, two rows is kind of everybody's separated by two rows.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there and listening and, my eyes look over and he is in the front row, basically. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Kevin James. So I start looking around the crowd to see if anybody else knows that it's Kevin James, And I think some people recognize it, some people didn't.
Yeah.
And I
would immediately start looking for Adam Sandler and David Spade.
Right, exactly. Maybe they were at the McDonald's next door. At the sign of peace, because everybody is far away, you just do the wave.
Yep.
He did the wave to everybody and made eye contact with everybody. But my favorite part of the story is the priest recognized him when it was time for communion.
Oh, I was going to ask if he took communion.
Yeah. So and because he was in the front row, he was like the second or third person to get it. So by the time I got up there, I was maybe the 10th, 12th person in line. The priest was giddy. Like, you could tell he's like, oh, my God, that's the King of Queens right there, you know? that happens, mass ends, and I walk out, and he had walked out already, and I just kind of, like, looked to the left, looked to the right, and sure enough, he was walking down the street towards the McDonald's and off on his morning.
Yeah.
So it makes sense because he was in town filming The Dilemma.
So, oh, sure.
Yeah.
They were – he and Vince Vaughn were all over the place during that.
Yeah.
They were, like – they went to, like, 20 – well, they shot a bunch of stuff. On the ice,
right.
at the UC,
right. But
it's interesting to know that what a good Catholic boy.
Yeah, I know. It was a 6 a.m. mass on like a Monday or a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, how about that, man?
Holy Name Cathedral,
a big TV and movie star
going
to mass at 6 o'clock in the morning while he's on location filming.
Yep,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's a great story. Kevin James, man. Yeah, that's pretty funny that the priest got to give him communion. Put a wafer on his tongue. That's pretty good.
I wonder, if he went mouth or hands.
I did not see it, so he had the option, but I did not see.
Okay. Oh man. All right. Let's see. Let's squeeze in 312-981-720. We're talking about celebrity brushes with fame that you've had. Here's John on WGN. Hey John.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for keeping me up.
Sure, buddy.
How you doing?
All right.
Back in the day in the 70s, my brother owned a cute little record store in LaGrange called Swollen Head.
Okay.
And he became friends with the manager of Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon. And just as an aside, sometimes the door would fly open and in would walk Muddy and Willie at separate occasions.
Oh, wow.
But this story was, he told me and my girlfriend one day to drop by his house, which he shared with Scott at the time. And to drop off something, and as we're sitting there, in walked Johnny Winter, shirtless, playing an unplugged Stratocaster guitar that was given to Muddy Waters from Billy Gibbons.
Wow.
He was just, like, walking around playing this unplugged guitar. He took the time out. He sat with us for a couple minutes, signed some promo photographs, and we shared a cigarette. And then
it was a cigarette, John?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I just happened to be there.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And then for some reason, he said, well, dude, I'm sorry, excuse me. And he was just this nervous bundle of energy. He just got up, walked away, and was back strumming in an unplugged electric Stratocaster guitar.
That's crazy.
Walking around the house. It was
That's amazing. Cool. I love the fact that he was shirtless, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Albino, shirtless, just glowed.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Cool. Great story, John. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, let's take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then more brushes with fame. I got some stories here from the internet where people talking about it. And we got some phone calls and texts coming in. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How you doing, everybody? Here till 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and my buddy and yours, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about your brushes with fame, celebrities that you came across. 312-981-7200. One of my favorites isn't I have a couple that I can share real quick, and some that I've mentioned already on the air. And this is not official, like, I'm interviewing you. I've interviewed a lot of celebrities thanks to my job and stuff, but I'm not counting that. It's just like, oh, look, there's this person or that person, and you have a little encounter with them. One of my favorites of all time wasn't me. It involved John Cusack. It was a story from John Cusack. There was a period of time when I hung out a lot with Cusack. This was like 89, 90, right around that time. I was hanging out with him a lot, him and Piven. They were living together. And we hung out a lot at the Old Town Ale House, by the way, Esmeralda. We would start at O'Rourke's and then end up at the Old Town Ale House. This was, 89, so we're talking, like, I was hanging out with him, like, right when Say Anything came out, and it was right around that time period. But Fat Man and Little Boy came out during that, The Grifters came out, all of those movies were out when we were hanging, and he told me a story about how he was in Japan, and he was walking down the street in Japan, and it was obviously very, very bustling, and he was walking past a bar, and he heard, there wasn't a lot of people speaking English, like, in the streets. But all of a sudden, he heard someone screaming. Obviously, a man speaking English. He heard someone screaming, "Just make sure you put ice in my drink. It's all I know. It's all I know. Put ice in my drink." And this is bellowing out of this bar. So Cusack is like, oh, I got to find out what's going on in here. So he turns the corner with it, and I can't remember who he was with, a couple of other. I think he was in town filming something. I don't remember. But anyway, he goes into the bar, and this guy is screaming, ah, put ice in my drink. It's all I know. So Cusack walks up, and he sees the guy, and the guy turns around, and it's Michael Biehn. Now, Esmeralda, do you know who Michael Biehn is?
No.
Michael Biehn was in The Terminator. He played Kyle Reese in The Terminator. He's in The Abyss. He's been in a ton of stuff. If you look him up, Michael Biehn, it's Biehn. And he was in Navy SEALs, and that's what they were filming in Japan at the time. They were filming Navy SEALs. So he turns around and here's Michael Biehn. And he's screaming, put ice in my drink. It's all I know. It's all I know. And he turns and he sees Cusack and he goes, John Cusack, I love you, man. I love you. You're great, man. And he grabs Cusack's shirt and pulls him to his face. And he goes, listen, make sure they put ice in your drink. It's all I know. It's all I know. And then he pushes Cusack away. And then he's just kind of standing there, and he starts drinking his drink. And then he grabs Cusack again. Make sure they put ice in your drink. It's all I know. And then Cusack's like, yeah, that's great, Michael. Nice to meet you. And then he left. That's a true story that Cusack told me. And it sort of made me friend. If you don't know who Michael Biehn is, it's not as funny. But people who know who Michael Biehn is out there, then you know. It's just picturing Michael Biehn grabbing Cusack by the lapels and just screaming in his face about putting ice in his drink. That's all he knows. Needless to say, I think he had had a couple. I think. Do you know, maybe he had a little sake, maybe, you think, Esmeralda?
I hope so.
All right. Here's Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. Hey, funny story about Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
I believe he's probably battling with alcoholism. He's an ex-alcoholic.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, God bless him for fighting it, man.
Yeah, and that's probably at the height of when he was one, probably. My brush with greatness happened when I was in college. I went to a gymnastics meet at NIU. I was a student there at the time. And I was at, I think, the Chick Evans Fieldhouse. It was like a Friday night. It was like really cold. So didn't get a big turnout. And it was kind of a custodial type meet between NIU and in Miami of Ohio or something like that. Wasn't a real big crowd there. And in the middle of the meet, I had to just do my business, had some Coca-Cola, and I just had to go, you know, nature called. So I went into this like big, like main men's john. And they had all these, like, you know, like urinals against the wall and, like, you know, 25 of them or something like that. And I'm the only one in there. So I'm just doing what I'm doing. And then I hear somebody come in way at the other end. And I hear this, like, loud belch. And I just look up real quickly and just turn to my left. And it's none other, and I'll give the character name before I give the actual person. It was none other than Mr. John Cabot. Jonathan Cabot was the character name.
Is Brian listening, Dan?
Yeah.
Do you think is Brian listening to this? Because that's Kurt Thomas from Gymkhana.
Yes, it was none other than than Kurt Thomas. He was in his senior year in college. He was at the meet. He was actually in the meet.
Uh-huh.
He was already, I think he did some commentary on for TV already.
Right. At that point, yeah.
Yeah, it was like this was, I think, 1982.
Okay. Listen, we got to hit the news, Rich. Here's the question. Did he wash his hands?
I don't know. No, he didn't.
And we didn't. Oh, that's good.
He had chalk on his. I mean,
well, that's why he had chalk on his hands.
Yeah,
that's...
yeah. He literally he went right in the middle of it.
Oh man. Okay.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you
gotta go. All right, Rich. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Bye. I really hope Brian's listening. I really hope Mr. Gymkhana is listening. He had chalk on his hands when he was peeing. Maybe Gymkhana is not as ridiculous now. Because he was all chalked up throughout that entire movie. I guess he's always chalked up. That's great. All right, we got a break here. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome to your work week. It's Monday. And we always like to start the week off with a laugh. So my dad, Nick, is going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey time. It's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And that's coming up. Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head again in another battle of celebrity name game. And right now we're talking about brushes with fame, celebrities that you may have met just on the street or whatever. There was a great story about some bikers who rescued Bruce Springsteen from the side of the road and then hung out with him and said he was a cool guy. We got some texts coming in and some phone calls here. And we also discovered that Kurt Thomas does not wash his hands after he urinates because he's got chalk all over them. And have we heard from Brian, from Gymkhana Brian yet?
Nothing yet.
Wow. Okay. Hopefully he'll listen to the podcast.
I think he's watching Gymkhana.
He's probably watching Gymkhana. All right. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
All right.
Hey, I've actually had three of them, but the most famous one or the most memorable one was David Lee Roth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was in the Navy at the time, and we were me and my buddies were downtown Los Angeles, and we were in like a Tower World or Tower Record or something, whatever the chain was at that time. And they were out of the Van Halen album, and he was flipping through there. And he asked the clerk, he said, "Where's all your Van Halen albums, man?" You know, he had his hair back in a ponytail, and they were out. I was looking for the Scorpions album or something. I can't remember. But he was just going off on this guy because they were out of Van Halen albums. And he said, "Well, did you order any more?" And the guy said, "Yeah, we ordered like 200. He said, 200? 200,000. That's what you need, man. You know, he was going off, and the young guy looked at him. He says, "Well, we wouldn't know where to keep 200,000 of them." And Dave says, "You put them in the bags, man. After they buy them, you know." Yeah, it was just incredible.
That's hilarious.
He was with a another really good looking woman, and I guess one of his handlers or something.
Yeah.
But you know, they were just casually walked out of the store and down the street of downtown L.A. But that was the most memorable one. It was awesome.
That's great. All right, cool, John. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now I'm just picturing David Lee Roth going from record store in L.A. to make sure that they all have Van Halen records. Oh man, here's Trucker Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Nick?
All right.
Mine happened. I had two brushes back in '76. It all happened on the same day. I was out at Aberdeen, Maryland, in advanced military school, you know, for learning to be a mechanic and such. But I had a 3-day pass, and we weren't supposed to go but 200 miles away from base. But I thought, yeah, on a map, 200 miles is only an inch. So I decided to fly home through Chicago, and I got to the airport of Baltimore, and I'm sitting there drinking a beer because that's back in my drinking days. And this guy walked up and asked if he could sit down with me because it was pretty crowded there. And I said, "Yeah, no problem." And I looked up, and here's this guy with braided ponytails and a scrubby beard, dressed like a hippie. And I'm sitting there talking to him. He asked me if I enjoyed country music, and I says, "Not really." Because back then it was, you know, 60s and 70s rock and roll. But it ended up being Willie Nelson.
Nice.
I had no clue of who he was because I'd only seen him in the old country days where they wore suits and stuff. And then on the plane flying into Chicago, I'm sitting in the back all nervous because I hate to fly. And stewardess come up and said, "Sir, you want to come up front with me?" And I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble for something, you know. And I got up there. Ann Margaret invited me to fly first class with her to Chicago.
What?
Because she was...
Wait a minute. Whoa. Why did Ann Margaret pick you?
Because I was in my military uniform.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I was flying home. You know,
you might, Rich, you might want to lead with that when you tell that story.
Yeah, well, you know, and, you know, so I'm sitting up there with her, just small talk, asked me why I was, you know, in the Army and why I joined and all this other stuff. And then she sat on my lap and gave me a hug and a kiss in the cheek. And then one of her handlers, I guess, just took a picture. And she got my address, said she was going to send a picture to me. You know, and I thought, yeah, right. And about 2 weeks later, back there at base, I got this overnight delivery from UPS, and it was the picture in a frame with a letter and her signature on it. And it was like, I put it up in my wall locker, and during an inspection, all the guys, you know, the NCOs and instructors there were all military, you know, well, of course, military, but Vietnam.
Yeah.
They seen the picture, and it was like, oh, my God, this is a fake, right? And I says, no. And they go, well, how did you get this? And, well, I got caught going AWOL, but they didn't say nothing about it. But it became like a hero thing. You know, they always wanted to look in my locker at the picture.
That's right. Oh, that's great. All right, and, Rich, that's a great story.
And thank God I'd never seen Clockwork Orange. You know, at the time she invited me up there and sat on my lap, or it would have been really bad.
Well, she wasn't in Clockwork Orange.
Or what was that? Who was it? Wasn't she in?
Tommy.
Oh, what was
you
it?
Are you thinking Tommy. Of Tommy?
Yeah.
Tommy, yeah.
The pork and beans.
Yeah, that's Tommy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's it. But thank God I didn't see that.
All
and
right.
Then in high school, my lab partner was Joan Allen.
Wow.
And if I hadn't been her lab partner, you know, she probably would have had a 4.0 grade average, but... You get stuck with me in science and
right.
You know, there's chemicals and you know things happen.
Right,
so.
I got you. All right, Rich, thanks for the call.
Right. Yep.
Take
yep.
care. Bye.
Bye.
What Ann Margaret, man? That's a great story. That is a great story, man. You know that all the other dudes in that platoon were like, what?
I have visions of like Cool Hand Luke where he had the picture with the two girls.
Yeah.
The same type
yeah,
of thing.
Absolutely. And Ann Margaret, 1976. Oh, man. Good God almighty. That was the year, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year Tommy came out. It's either 75 or 76. And she had never, I mean, that scene with the beans and the soap, that, I could watch that all day long on a loop. 847 says, in 2005, I went to see the Dave Matthews Band. They're my favorite band. I was at the hotel bar, and then Dave Matthews came in, sat by us. We talked for over an hour. Nicest guy ever. Jay in Ohio says, as a Greyhound bus driver, I picked up the Count Basie Band. Oh, wow! At the Chicago Hotel, and they were very friendly. Gary said, I said hi to Jay Leno at a Giordano's in Milwaukee as we were leaving. He was in town for a show at the Pastrami. What's the Pastrami? Is that a venue in Milwaukee? 2070 says, I had a couple of celebrity run-ins. I ran into Mark Grace in Wrigleyville after a Cub game around 2004-2005. I also met John Cusack at a Cub game. In 1999, I went on a class trip to Washington, D.C., and we met Jerry Springer at the airport at 5:30 in the morning. Jeff in San Diego says, I have three. After I met Keanu Reeves, he yelled to me, catch you later, Jeff. Jean-Claude Van Damme told me to grow some muscles and eat more. I met Noel and Liam from Oasis. They must have been fighting that night because they were both nice to me. Not have been fighting that night because they were both nice to me. All right. 618 says, years ago, I was at a big club on New Year's Eve. Big Twist and the Mellow. Oh, my God. Big Twist and the Mellow Fellows. I haven't heard that name in years. They were there. Spencer Davis opened. I went to the men's room, and I was at the urinal when Spencer Davis came in and urinated next to me. So what's going on with the urinals? I should probably tell my Edward Herman story then.
Well, it's everyone. Everyone pees.
Yeah. Peter in Decatur, too long a story, but let's just say it included Shirley MacLaine, Robert Wagner, Jim Backus, Martin Milner, Kent McCord, and one evening after hours on the studios, Universal Studios in L.A. Oh, my God. Peter. Yeah, we scared the hell out of Edward Herman at a bar, Esmeralda.
Great.
Do you know who Edward Herman is?
No.
He was Richard Gilmore, the father in Gilmore Girls. He just passed away last year.
Oh.
He was in Lost Boys?
Yeah.
Okay. That's Edward Herman. We were at O'Rourke's one night, my friends and I, and we had had a couple. And we saw Edward Herman in there, and we went, oh, man, that's Edward Herman. That's Edward Herman. And we started freaking out about Edward Herman because Edward Herman rules. And so we're like, you know, we had had a bunch at this point. And this was when O'Rourke's had moved. It was on Halsted right across the street from the Steppenwolf Theater. And it used to be over on Orleans and Wells. But anyway, so Edward Herman's at the bar. He's having a drink. So he starts to walk towards the bathroom. So two of my friends and I get up and run so that we can pee next to Edward Herman.
Goodness gracious.
Because when we saw him at the bar, we went, Edward Herman! You know, across the room, Edward Herman! And we were like, yeah! And then we followed him into the can so we could pee next to him, and then he left.
Terrible.
Edward Herman.
You freaked him out.
We freaked out Edward Herman.
Jeez.
Oh, man. He was the best, though, Edward Herman. So, all right, we got to take a break. We got weather, we got traffic coming up, a couple of more stories, and then we're going to jump into Wood Esmeralda. No, not Wood Esmeralda. We're going to do that tomorrow, I think. Are we doing that tomorrow? Sometime this week, right?
Yeah, Tuesday night and Wednesday probably.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, Wednesday morning then we'll do it. Anyway, hey, what? So we're going to – we got a break here. So here's your weather. For some reason, my phone is going nuts right now. Like it buzzed like five times. I have no idea. Maybe it's –
it's Edward Herman.
No, Edward Herman is dead. It can't be Edward Herman.
Yeah, well, you know. He's a ghost.
All right. Maybe it's Michael Biehn.
Maybe it's George, and he's talking about the time he ran into Mannix or something.
Oh, yeah. That's probably who it is. It's probably George. Or is that show, is there anybody named Larry Jag on that show? Morning, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Monday morning, that means my dad will call in and tell a joke. I'm off next week, the whole week leading up to Thanksgiving. We got some great shows lined up for this week. Dmitry Samarov, my good friend, former cab driver, great writer, is going to join us. He'll be on the show this week. Jeff Tuckman will be joining us later in the week. And we'll have some live music in studio as well. Lots of great stuff. And by the way, you know, Esmeralda, as I was saying before the break, my phone started going nuts and buzzing and stuff.
Yeah.
Can you guess who it was? It wasn't George. You're not going to be.
Was it the Count?
No. It was Dana DiLorenzo.
Oh. Well, then.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey?
I had texted her. Last night I watched the latest episode of Ash versus Evil Dead. By the way, Dana's going to be on the show Friday morning. So I had texted her. You know, because we text each other. We call each other from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted her, and I told her how great I thought she was on the show, because it was the best episode of the season, and she particularly kicks ass in it. Like, really, really great performance. So I texted her, and then she texted me back, saying, hey, thanks,
nice.
And it was cool, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I did. But for some reason, like, her message came in four separate texts. I guess it was, you know, if you hit a certain amount of words on your text, it splits it up.
Right.
So that's why there were like five beeps. I was like, what is my phone? It just started going, what the hell? So anyway, it was just my good friend, Dana DiLorenzo,
mm-hmm.
My future ex-wife.
Oh.
And your best friend.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. All right. Let's get back to, speaking of which, we're talking about Brushes with Fame. And here's Catherine on WGN. Hey, Catherine.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Yeah, when I was young, I used to always watch the Grammys, you know, and I say, one of these days I'm going to go. But I won tickets with Uncle Larry and Little Tom and WLS. I believe it was 85.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I got to go. When I went left, I said, I'm going to get backstage. I got backstage. And I met a lot of people. But one of the ones was, it was the year Bruce Springsteen was supposed to win, should have won. And he didn't. Lionel Richie did.
Uh-huh.
And I was outside the backstage door having a cigarette. And you only have all those little girls out there. And all of a sudden he started screaming. I turned around and Bruce was walking out with his wife. He was pissed.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even paying attention. He just walked right into me, knocked me off the step. And just kept on going. Michelle stopped, apologized. I said, it's no problem. They went to get into the wrong limo, and the limo was saying, Mr. Springsteen, this isn't yours. It was, you know.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I met a lot that night. And also, yeah. I met Ann Margaret also not too long ago. Well, about 15 years ago in Indianapolis when I worked there. She stayed in our hotel. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah, I bet. All right. Very cool. Thank you, Catherine.
You bet.
Okay. So we start with a Springsteen story where he's a nice guy, and then we end with a Springsteen story where he's a jerk.
Everyone has a bad day.
No, I know. When you when you lose to Lionel Richie, you have the right to be upset.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if we'll have a chance to get to it, so I'll just say there's a story from one of the lists, and this couple was at an anniversary dinner in Ireland.
Okay.
And they look over, and they see Bono. And they're big fans, so Bono walks away from the table. So they walk up to the guy who's eating dinner with Bono and say, hey, do you think it would be okay if we get a picture with Bono? He's like, I'll tell you what, I'll ask. And so Bono comes back. They have a conversation. Bono waves him over. They take pictures. Everybody's happy and everything like that. The couple goes to pay the check at the end, and the waiter's like, it's been taken care of. And they're like, oh, my God, did Bono buy his dinner? And he's like, no, his companion, Mr. Springsteen, bought it for you.
So they didn't even can't even notice it was Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen took the picture of them with Bono and then paid for their dinner.
That's amazing. Maybe because Bruce Springsteen kind of just looks like a dude.
Yeah.
And Bono, I'm sure, is wearing those glasses and
like
his
the
leather jacket.
Fly glasses.
Oh yeah. And he had, you know, he had like a badass jacket on, and you know, Springsteen probably had a flannel. You know, that's a great story. All right. Well, anyway, those are we got to close on the Springsteen because we got three Springsteen stories out of it. Two, he's great. One, he was mad, but justifiably mad because Lionel Richie beat him. That was the night, if I remember correctly, at the Grammys when Lionel Richie said outrageous like 700 times, because every time he got up on stage to accept another Grammy, he would just go outrageous.
I wonder if Bruce was like, yeah, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
You beat me.
That I'm sitting here and you're on the stage. That is outrageous. Hello. So, all right, we got to take a break here. The news is next, and then we'll do a celebrity name game. My dad will tell a joke. We got a Blackhawks Express from a very, very exciting game last night. All coming up.